Good morning. This is the Game Fish and Parks Radio Show. I am Bryce McVicker, and with us today out of Webster is Austin Norton. Thanks for coming today, Austin.
Thanks for having me, Bryce. Good morning to everybody out there. It's been a while since I've helped out with this show, so I figured I better come on down and see what information I can put out there.
Last weekend was quite a little bit nicer than what today and tomorrow are going to be. Negative 17, I believe, is the high or the low.
I believe that might be...
For the average.
The average. We'll go with the average.
Yeah, we can't really be wrong if we say that's going to be the average. So regardless, once you get below zero, it's pretty cold. So it's going to be much colder than it was last weekend. We're probably going to see a little bit different fishing activity out there. People were really moving around a lot last week. But when it gets this cold, you kind of see people hold up in those permanent style shacks and not a whole lot of movement. So we'll see what the fish bite has in store for us this weekend. But since we got Austin here, we're going to talk a few things Day County. And since it's been a while since we've had anybody on the show from the Webster area, we'll back up a few weeks. Pheasant season ended last weekend. Haven't talked to anybody from Webster in the last few weeks. So how was the last few weeks of pheasant season down here? Got a little bit of snow and things were a little better. Did your hunters see a similar trend?
They did in portions of the county. It was still a tough season overall for the pheasants, but guys that worked that western portion of the county, there's quite a few crep areas over there that still had some CRP grasses that were not hayed on it, so which provided some good cover, a good opportunity for them hunters to go out there and harvest a bird or two. The ones that did the best was crep land near some sort of a slough with cattails, thick cattails, and then also some ag around it. So those guys that were working those areas seemed to be doing all right. Even, you know, a couple of days they were able to get their limit. So I always enjoy checking late season hunters. There isn't many of them, but they are they're out there and they seem to be doing the best. So it's kind of fun to go out late season, even myself personally. You don't have to deal with a ton of people and you can kind of just go wherever you want. And if that public piece of land looks good there, go there. Or if you find a private piece and you get permission, try that out. And just not a lot of competition that late season.
Yeah. Another opportunity up there that gets quite a little bit of activity late in the season is Sand Lake. Did you talk to many hunters that were over there using that resource and hunting pheasants on Sand Lake?
I was able to talk to a few. I never checked anybody, but just kind of heard from other hunters that were over there. And as usual, Sand Lake seems to produce some pretty good pheasant hunts. It gets a lot of pressure, though, especially that first day and opening weekend. But overall, usually a pretty good hunt over there. There's prime habitat to walk through and a lot of it. So just a lot of traffic over there overall, and guys did good.
Good. One other thing you mentioned when it comes to pheasant hunting up there is crep property. I know that you have some things to do with the contracts when it comes to crep. Do most of those have a few years left on those contracts, or are they going to start coming up here pretty soon?
Yes, they still do have a few years left on them. A lot of the haying that occurred this year was either for mid-management practices or for that emergency haying from the drought. So, you know, we're still looking at a couple years left on these contracts that will give hunters a great opportunity to go out there and hunt these private lands that we have permission or have the right lease on to go hunting. So it'll be good and keep those opportunities open and go out there and enjoy them while they're there. And we'll go from there once those contracts are up.
Very good. Thank you. So let's kind of kick things off with the fishing report. I will start with some of the activity going on down here, and then we'll chat with Austin and figure out what's going on up in that Webster country. But down here around Watertown, right here in town, Compesca, Pelican, neither one of them has had a real great bite going on. The nice weather last weekend really had a lot of anglers out in the area. Compesca, busier than Pelican, I would say. City Park, probably the busiest part of the lake. You might see a few crappie, a handful of perch here and there, but mostly what people are catching are smaller walleye, and most of those are going back in the lake. I would say average size of them is from 11 to maybe 13 inches, but every once in a while you hear a story of a really nice walleye coming out of there, over 20, and maybe a big northern pike. But most of the time, it's just been some activity with smaller walleye out there, unfortunately. Get up into the Florence country with grass and dry. Not hardly anybody on grass lately. The few people on dry lake, it's a couple permanent shacks have been out there for a while, and then the walleye bite's not bad out there. Those walleye are still growing really good, like we've reported for the last month or so. So good growth rates, still not huge walleye. I would say an average of 14 now, but pretty decent eater size walleye. The bite there seems to be the best about that first half hour of sunrise. Work your way around the county, get over in that Henry area. Long Lake, Blythe, and Stink, kind of all the same report. There's some fishermen on each one. Smaller perch is about the only thing keeping anybody busy. Might get an eater walleye out of Long. You might get a few bigger perch out of Blythe. But other than that, been pretty quiet over there by Henry. Get down in the southern part of the county. Still have some fishermen every day on Bailey Slough. Everybody seems to be catching something. Size varies from anywhere from as small as 6 inches up over 10, some of them. So that's a nice little body of water to get some activity there. Goose Lake, as normal, up and down. Some days aren't too bad for perch, other days not too bad for walleye, but tough to go out to the same holes day after day and have the same amount of success there. Get down into Hamlin County. Ponset has really had a good week. The nice weather allowed folks to kind of run around and chase that school of perch, and some people were really able to stay on them and come off with some really nice buckets of fish, so that's been good. Most people you talk to are catching those walleye now, a lot of them coming off the water. So Ponset's an area, especially on the weekends, that's had really heavy traffic, and everybody seems to be coming off with a few fish. Clear Lake by Thomas in Hamlin County, another lake that continues to have some pretty good success. This is probably the longest we've seen a good fish bite on Clear Lake by Thomas. Usually it's about a week-long deal and then dead for the rest of the winter. So nice to see going on about a month here of pretty good fishing on that body of water. Three Buck and Faith Slough, kind of status quo there. Smaller perch. Every once in a while you might catch a big walleye, but most of the perch are going back in the lake. Every once in a while you'll catch a keeper there. With that, we will scoot our way up to Day County and let Austin talk about the rat race that is Wabay Lake.
Yes, it's been packed the last couple weekends, especially this last weekend with the nice temperatures we had out there. We saw, you know, tons of shacks out there, probably, I feel comfortable saying, at least 100 shacks out there, if not more. Mainly coming on two different locations. Up at Buckshot's Landing there on the northeast part of the lake by the refuge, and then also down by the Canago boat landing down there, trying to that in the southwest corner. So guys did struggle more than I expected this past weekend trying to get fish. They were able to get some walleye, some perch, some white bass, and a few northern, but I didn't see near the amount of fish I expected to with the nice temperatures. So they're there, just got to keep working and going from there. Moving over to Bitter Lake, again, there was a ton of people over there, quite a few people accessing from Bitter Lake Lodge and then also from the Southeast State Boat Ramp. We saw actually good numbers of walleye being caught overnight, and then also the guys that are out popping a bunch of holes were doing okay on catching some nice perch. So definitely opportunity there on both those lakes. You're going to have a crowd to deal with, but the fishing's been okay. A couple other lakes in the area that seem to be doing okay, Antelope just south of Webster there. A couple guys are trying that overnight for some of those larger walleyes and larger northern pike. Opitz usually has been actually quiet this year. A few guys have been out there catching a few perch and walleye, but has not taken off like it has in the past. And from there, I'm trying to think, Enemy Swim and Pickerel have been pretty quiet as well. So a few guys catching a few crappie and bluegill, but overall it's been pretty quiet this year on those lakes so far.
All right. Very good. Well, one thing we can't do is hardly have a radio show or anything and not talk about non-meandered water. Rhett Russell in the Watertown office has by far had his busiest last 30 days when it comes to paperwork coming in of certain bodies of water that are looking to basically get closed off to public access. Day County has been a hot spot for that. So if you just want to give us some updates, Austin, of maybe some of those bodies of water in the last few weeks that do have signage on them now, and then we can talk in further depth about what that signage looks like.
Yep. So there is, to my knowledge, the most recent ones that have come up is a few bodies of water. The first one's going to be Fron Church is what they call it. It's northwest of Webster, actually closer to being almost straight west of Roslyn. That has, the information has come in that they would like to close that down. So that is in the process of getting signed. Another one would be a portion of North Hazelden. That is also, that's actually up there by Opitz. And a portion of that, we have been notified that they would like to shut that down to access. And then also down in the near the Clark Day County line, Hague Slough, I believe is what they call it. A portion of that is also in the process of being shut down. These individuals have to come into the office after notifying us to get the proper signage. And then once it is signed properly, it will go on the map on our South Dakota Game, Fish, and Parks website. And that is the time that it'll be officially closed.
That's a good point. So mainly, and we've talked about this before, but if you're a new listener out there, you cannot just close a body of water because you want to. You have to go through the proper process. So if you go to a retail store in Watertown and you pick up a sign that says no trespassing and you put that out on a body of water, that is not a valid way of closing your non-meandered water. What you need to do is you need to get a hold of Rhett Russell at the Watertown office and or your local conservation officer. We will work with you to get the proper paperwork filled out. And then get that closure both on our website and then signed properly. So if you're an angler and you're out on a certain body of water and you see some red and white signs that will read closed, no recreational use on this water without permission, those are the proper signs that need to be out there. And again, they're red and white. So if you see anything other than that sign, then that body of water is still open for you to go out and fish on. So if you come to these signs, obviously you can't go across that boundary without landowner permission, or you will be in violation of trespassing. So you're still having a lot of people stop in at the Watertown office asking us questions on that. And like we talked about, this is a process that changes every day. The process, I guess, is not what changes, but the amount of acres of water that is closed that does have this signage on it does change every day. So pay attention to where you're at on the water. Look for new signs. If you're familiar with the Game, Fish, and Parks app, that is going to be a really good resource for you. If you're looking at going on a trip, have a certain body of water in mind, pull up that Game, Fish, and Parks app, look at that body of water. If it has yellow lines through it, then that is the portion of the body of water which you will need permission to go over and fish on. So just some things to think about there. We've kind of beat that to death over and over, but it is something that people continually come in to the Watertown office and have questions about, which is very understandable as this is all very new to all of us. So feel free to keep stopping in, check out that app. There is information about it in the new fishing handbook on page 24 under general definitions if you want to look for it in there as well. Anything else on non-meandered water before we kind of wrap things up?
I think that is it on that.
All right. Always good when we make it through that portion of the show.
Yes, yes it is.
Feels like things are going to get better once we get through that. Let's talk border waters a little bit. It's kind of some different regulations up there, and I know that you probably work Big Stone more than I do, so I'll let you just go through a few of those regulations that may differ from state regs.
Yeah, just a couple things I wanted to hit on with that. The Minnesota-South Dakota border waters, you're looking at Big Stone mainly over there. When you're on the inland waters of South Dakota, you are allowed to fish with four lines per person during hard water season. On the border waters, however, I just want to point out that it's only two lines per person. That is the rule set forth by both Minnesota and South Dakota to keep it consistent with each other and make those rules easier. Secondly, you know, you are allowed to fish border water with whichever state you license you have. So if you're from Minnesota, you're allowed to fish Big Stone with a Minnesota license. If you're from South Dakota, you're allowed to fish it from South Dakota with a South Dakota license. So you're good either way there on that. Other than that, most of your laws and regulations are all same in South Dakota if you're fishing off the South Dakota license. So if you have your fishing handbook with you, you can always refer to that for your daily limits, possession limits, and other things like that.
Very good. I just talked to Jamie middle of this week about what the fish were doing up there on Big Stone, and it sounds like it's been pretty spotty, just like the rest of our fishing last weekend in that really nice weather. A lot of anglers up there, really hopeful anglers, and unfortunately those fish just weren't very consistent. So we came out of a really good fall where the perch were just biting hand over fist up there on Big Stone. We're going to have some good days up there this winter. We're all very confident of that, but so far it's been fairly quiet, but everybody's marking fish, so we know that they're still in there, and at some point that is going to take off there. I appreciate Austin coming down from Webster, and appreciate everybody listening, and hope everybody has a great weekend. We will see you back here same time next week.